Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Luke 2 and verse 49. The word wist simply means know. This is an important question because Jesus is the one who asked it. Therefore, we consider it reverently. In Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52, it tells of the time when Jesus, at the age of 12, was discussing matters in the temple with the prominent teachers of his day. He had come there with Joseph and Mary for the Passover. And that having passed, Mary and Joseph started home. Supposing Jesus to be in the traveling company, they left him behind, and for 3 days searched for him, finally locating him back in Jerusalem and in the temple. They inquired of Jesus, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us?" Now, they had been very concerned about him, of course. Intending in no way to slight his earthly parents or to be disrespectful, Jesus simply responded with the question of verse 59, or 49. It seems he was asked almost as if he was intended to say, "Of all people, you should have known who I am and why I am doing what I am." But they did not fully understand. The scripture says, "His mother kept all these things in her heart." Now, how much did Jesus at this age really understand about his mission? Well, we cannot be sure, but some things are evident. He knew who his real father was, and he knew what his father's business was, and he knew he was to be about that business. He evidently knew his role and the work in that business. It is safe to conclude that he understood why he was here and what he had to do. After all, although in the flesh, he was deity. The implication of the question is that the Father had sent him on the Father's business. Hebrews 10 and verse 9, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do the will, O God, thy will, O God." Now we best understand his mission and his comprehension of it as we observe what he said and what he did and what he accomplished. His question to Mary and Joseph is almost the same question as, "Why did Jesus come to earth?" Is it not clear that he came to do what the Father intended? Now, by considering his question, we have an opportunity to magnify and glorify our Lord and his mission, giving credit where credit is due, and it belongs to deity. In Hebrews 2 and verse 9, we learn it was the role of Christ to taste of death for every man. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste of death for every man. Yes, Jesus died for us all. His death was a vicarious death, which simply means it was instead of others. In Romans 3, verse 25, it teaches that he set forth to be a propitiation. In 1 John 2 and verse 2, teaches he is the propitiation for our sins. Hebrews 9 and verse 12 echoes the same sentiment in different words. "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Now, a propitiation is simply an atonement, the satisfactory payment for the sins of man as determined by the Father of heaven. Man sinned. Justice demands that somebody had to pay. God provided the payment in the person of his only begotten Son. And not only is he the propitiation for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world, 1 John 2 and verse 2. He provided for the remission of sins for people who lived both before and after the cross, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 and 22. And while under the law of Moses there were many sacrifices, the one sacrifice of himself was sufficient, Hebrews 9, verses 26 and 28. His death is the expression of God's love and his grace toward sinful man, Romans 5 and verse 8 and John 3 and verse 16. The last reference which we refer in 1 John 4 and verse 10, we read, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is why he is called the author of salvation, Hebrews 5 and verse 9. When he died on the cross, he was busy doing the Father's business. And we further learn what this includes. In Hebrews 2 and verse 10, "For it became him in bringing many sons to glory." His death was to save mankind. And by so doing, rather than the fires of an eternal punishment, mankind has access to eternal glory. Many have and will respond to his offer and will be glorified. And this is the glory of salvation. We are called unto his eternal glory. What Jesus did makes it possible for sinful people to become the sons and daughters of God. As God's children, we become his heirs and the beneficiaries of his inheritance. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 4, "An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Yes, bringing people to glory was doing the Father's business. In Hebrews chapter 2, 11 through 13, it reveals that he is the one who sanctifies, and the redeemed are the sanctified. Now, a sanctified person is simply one who's been set apart. He's set apart from his sins. He's set apart from the evil world. He's set apart into the service of God through Christ. And Christ is the sanctifier. And the sanctified are all of one. The sanctified are counted as brethren, and they are counted as the children of God. There is unity and fellowship among them. And such are those who are in Christ. Friend, the importance of being in Christ is evidenced in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, where we are taught that salvation is in Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says all spiritual blessings are in Christ. In Romans 8 and verse 1, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. In Revelation 14, 13, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." We are in Christ if we be Christian people according to the New Testament gospel, and he is in us, Galatians 2 and verse 20. And producing this fellowship, producing this oneness, bringing about this relationship with deity, Jesus was doing the Father's business. In Hebrews 2 and verse 14, "That through death he might destroy the power of him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." Christ died, and he conquered death by his own resurrection. The angels at the tomb declared, "He is not here, he is risen, as he said." He had shown power over death by raising the dead, and as prophesied, he was not left in Hades, the unseen state of the dead, Acts 2 and verse 31. And at the return of our Lord, the last day, death, the last enemy, will be destroyed, and we all shall be raised, both good and evil, John 5, 28 and 29, and 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 26. It was a part of his mission to spoil principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, Colossians 2, 15, leading captivity captive, that is, those once in the captivity to sin and to Satan were delivered from that captivity and were being captured by the Lord, Ephesians 4 and verse 8. And this was accomplished by condemning sin in the flesh, Romans 8 and verse 3. Victorious are his people. For when he comes again, all who belong to him shall be caught up together to meet him and be forever with him, 2 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. And this, too, making this possible, was doing the Father's business. It should be plain by now that doing the Father's business was being a deliverer for mankind from the bondage of sin. In Romans chapter 6, 16 through 18, we're taught that we're servants of that which we obey. We obey sin, we're the servants of sin. We obey righteousness, we're the servants of God. Once there was no deliverance from sin until Christ came to be that deliverer. And as a result of him doing the Father's business, mankind need not fear death nor the wages of sin, which is death, Romans 6 and verse 23. Job once asked, "If a man die, shall he live again?" Job 14:14. and Christ is the answer. In John 11:25-26, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And the Apostle Paul affirmed that victory over death is through Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 through 57. Now this deliverance is possible because he delivers us from the guilt of sins. John the Baptist announced, as he was pointing to Christ, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. John 1 and verse 29. It is by his truth, friend, that we can be made free. John 8:32. Because of him we can have life and have it more abundantly. John 10 and verse 10. And this deliverance from sin and deliverance from death and deliverance into life, why, this was doing the Father's business. All Christians are priests, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 9. In fact, a royal priesthood, even a kingdom of priests, Revelation 1 and verse 6. And we have a high priest, which is Jesus the Christ, Hebrews 3 and verse 1. And his priesthood is special. As we have noted, it is after the order of Melchizedek, superior to that of the Levitical order. In Hebrews 7 and verse 25, we read that even now he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Yes, Christ is the one mediator between God and man, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. He is the one mediator as well as an intercessor on our behalf. He accomplished the reconciliation that we needed, being our peace, Ephesians 2 and verse 18. And he did this by shedding his blood on the cross, Ephesians 2:16. And this peace is enjoyed in the one body, Ephesians 2:16, which is his church, Ephesians 1:22-23. We're no longer, friend, alienated from God. We're no longer without hope. Salvation, reconciliation with God, it is ours, through Christ, but only through Christ, John 14:6, Acts 4 and verse 12. And when we ask why Jesus came to this earth, we learn it was to do the will of the Father. Is it not evident that providing for our reconciliation with God, whom we offend when we sin, that was a part of his role? And in so doing, he was doing his Father's business. He was to succor those that are tempted. Now the word succor simply means to supply and to provide for. Christ was tempted even as we are, but without sin, Hebrews 4:15. And because he was tempted, he knows how to provide for us when we are tempted, Hebrews 2:18. And having taken on the form of a servant in the likeness of men, Philippians 2:7, he can and he does understand. He is qualified to sympathize and to know and to care and to provide. The three avenues of temptation were used against him in Matthew chapter 4. But he overcame temptation. Through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the devil tempted Christ. He overcame the devil. He knows how it is to be done to overcome the devil. It is not a sin, of course, to be tempted. Even though we're not to seek out temptations, we're to pray to lead us not into temptation. But, friend, we shall be tempted in this world. And we come to Christ. And when we come to Christ, we're not immunized against being tempted. We're still frail. We're still weak at times. And Paul recognized this when he said he had to keep himself under control, 1 Corinthians 9:27. But adequate provision is made for us in the time of temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Deity did not become flesh in order to understand man. Deity has always understood man. Deity became flesh so that man could know that deity understands man. Deity knew and he understood even if deity never came in the form of flesh. But nobody can ever say to our Lord when he is tried and tempted, Lord, you just don't know how it is. Friend, he does know. And he can know. Therefore, he provides us strength through his word and through his providence. He guides and comforts and sympathizes with us. He is a present help in time of trouble, Psalm 46:1 and Hebrews 13:6. And in doing all of this, he is doing the Father's business. And he was doing the Father's business when he gave us an example to imitate, 1 Peter 2:21, and we should walk in his steps. He showed God to mankind, John chapter 14. To see Christ is to see the Father. Not that they are the same person, but the nature of each is the same. He came that God might be just, because justice demands that sin be punished, but also that the justifier of those who are guilty of wrongs can be saved. Justice and mercy met at the cross of Christ. God does not look upon evil and good just alike. He made provision to exact justice, but at the same time to offer mercy. It was the mission of Jesus Christ doing the Father's business to make that possible. And it was his mission to become King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his kingdom came on the day of Pentecost. And often Scripture says of the events pertaining to him that it might be fulfilled, speaking of the prophecies that had been made concerning him. His word included fulfilling these prophecies, showing himself to be the Messiah that God had promised. Yes, Christ came to reveal truth. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, John chapter 1, verse 17. And his work embraced seeking and saving the lost, ministering to others, saving to the uttermost. Well, there are just so many expressions in the New Testament that describe Jesus doing the Father's business. And friend, what he came to do, he did. In John 4 and verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In John 5, 36, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish. In John 17 and verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. When our Lord died, among his last words he said, it is finished. Now a number of things were finished. His life on earth was finished because he was about to die. The law of Moses was finished, being nailed to the cross, Colossians 2:14. The plan of salvation was finished, except for his inevitable resurrection. Indeed, the Father's business he came to do was finished. Friend, we can be saved. We know to whom the credit belongs. God says, by his love and his grace and his mercy, that has been evidenced in the blood of Christ on the cross. But to be saved, we must meet the conditions of his will to come to him and receive these blessings. Yes, we have a part in doing the Father's business also. We must love, we must obey. We are to believe and repent and confess our faith in Christ and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins and to live faithfully before him. And when we do that, we too are doing the Father's business. Jesus asked, know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Well, let us ask, do we not know that we too must be about his business? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.